The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
The Simcha, the Simcha, the Simcha, the Simcha, Ivdu Hashem, 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 the Simcha, the Simcha.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you. We opened up with Marty Goodman, Serve Hashem with Song, because our guest today will be, indeed, Detroit's own Marty Goodman, and he's going to talk about singing and composing music and serving the Almighty with it. We have lots of other very good music. The portion of the week, we are at the beginning again. The portion of Noah is chapter 6 of the book of Genesis and further. We have a wonderful Hasidic story for you. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Two IDF soldiers were abducted by Palestinians and murdered this week. Sergeant Tomer Hazan was kidnapped by Nadal Amar of Bayit Amin. The two met in a restaurant where Amar was illegally employed. Amar wanted to use Hassan's body in exchange for his brother, who was being held in Israeli prison. Amar was captured by IDF soldiers and is now being held in prison. Gali Kobi was killed by an Arab sniper in Hebron. Hebron was placed under a complete lockdown. The IDF is still looking for the shooter. Two Kenyans who survived and escaped a terror attack at the partially Israeli-owned Westgate Mall in Nairobi said they were rescued by a man they believe was an Israeli security officer. How much Israel was involved in the rescue operation remains a secret, as Jerusalem said that Israel only advised the Kenyans on how to do the rescue. Arab rioters forced the closure of Highway 60 near Bet El. The highway is mostly used by Palestinians traveling between Shechem and Ramallah. Interesting story here. French diplomat Marion Fesneau-Castaing punched an Israeli soldier in the face, prompting Israel's foreign ministry to demand an explanation of the blatant violation of diplomatic codes of conduct, unquote. Castaing was with a group that was trying to deliver tents to Bedouins. Several properties illegally built by the Bedouins were knocked down because the building department determined that these buildings were unsafe. One of them was a kindergarten. When the French diplomat was detained, she punched the soldier in the chin. France has yet to respond. Israel declared Fesneau-Castaing persona non grata, revoked her diplomatic privilege, and asked her to leave Israel. El Al will cancel its flights to Eilat beginning at the end of the week over safety concerns. Israel is concerned of terrorist rockets being fired at planes from the Sinai. The airline said that there is a new flight path. Required by the Civil Aviation Authority does not meet international aviation safety standards. Israel and Arkia, which are domestic airlines, switched to the new flight path and will still fly to Eilat. An IDF soldier was arrested for transporting 23 illegal aliens in his truck. The soldier was paid to get the illegal Palestinian Arabs into Israel so that they could find work. Jewish businesses in India were told by police to tighten security in and around their businesses. The call came following an interrogation of Indian Mujahideen co-founder Yasin Bakhtal after the Islamic attack on the shopping mall in Kenya. Sweden is showing its colors again. A ban of non-medical circumcision of young males of under age 13 was presented to the Swedish parliament. A vote on the motion has yet to be scheduled. Terrorists destroyed several ancient Jewish grave sites in the Syrian city of Aleppo. Aleppo is one of those really old cities. A tome said to be that of Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe, who wrote, believe it or not, the book of Ezra, is located in the town. It is unclear if one of the destroyed grave sites was his. Many Jewish sites in Israel, in Syria, have been destroyed in the country's two-year civil war. Here's some interesting news making me possibly want to think about going Android or Bluetooth. what do you call it, or BlackBerry, excuse me, Apple's new iOS 7 operating system, like its predecessor, lists Jerusalem without a country. Jerusalem is one of only three cities to be listed in the world clock without a country list. If you want to know what time it is in Jerusalem, Israel, you won't find it. You just have to put in the word Jerusalem. This is political. The other are Vatican City and Taipei, which, of course, have no countries. And finally, this is interesting, really, really interesting news. A joint venture between Israel and China will produce Israel's first line of automobiles called the Kuro, which I'm not exactly sure what that means, but nine models from subcompact to luxury models are expected to be sold in Israel before the end of the year. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
I love Hashem, I love Hashem, I love Hashem, for he's good.
Herschel Finman here, you're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have online Detroit's own Marty Goodman, co-author, composer, songwriter, and general do-gooder here in the Jewish community. How are you today, Marty?
Thank God. Herschel, how are you doing?
Good, thank God. We're doing really well. Okay, I want to talk, before we talk about the CD that you just recently released, I want to talk about the theory behind singing in Judaism. Singing's been one of those things that Jews have been doing in part of their involvement with serving God for as long as there's been Judaism. Would you say that's correct, Marty?
I would agree.
Yeah, and we have the primary example is the Levites in the temple would accompany the various sacrifices. Now, I've always wanted to imagine, how would you imagine that whole scenario being? Someone offering, say, like a Thanksgiving offering in the temple, and you got this whole orchestra choir thing going on. What would be your impressions there, Marty?
Well, I think that music transcends all barriers. Even people that don't want to be affected, whether they want to or not, it just fills everything. It's kind of like water. There's no place that you pour it that it won't go into. And in fact, there's a famous story with the Alter Rebbe, where he came to a town, and it was a town of Misnagdim, and he really came there. They really wanted to beat him up. And when he stood in front of them, they were going to ask him questions. Difficult questions to embarrass him and whatever. And meanwhile, he said, before he would say anything, he said, "Let me first sing you a niggun." And he began to sing. By the time he was done, everything was taken care of, and everybody was quiet, and everybody was calm, and everybody was very happy with him. Music transcends all boundaries. In fact, I guess we know, the whole world sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world sings song to God. And we're really a part of that. And I think that was the idea of the song of the Levites, was to reach into the deepest parts of a person's soul. And Lahavdil, I mean, that's basically what the Catholic Church does, you know, and all the evangelists. I mean, music is part of religion, all religions. And especially when it's done properly, and the Levites were experts at what they did, that was their main job, it has a way of putting you in a mood. It has a way of raising your hopes, your spirits, taking a person who's melancholy and making him happy. It's a wonderful gift that God gives us.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Marty Goodman, who's done a CD called Serving Hashem with Song, which we're going to be playing some of in this hour of the show, of course. Tell us about yourself. How did you get involved with music even before you became involved with religiosity, Marty?
Well, it's actually interesting. I grew up in Detroit and went to Yeshiva Beis Yehuda till I was 13, and then went to Neri Yisrael in Baltimore for a year and a half. And interestingly enough, my family were traditional Holocaust survivors. It wasn't really a religious home. It was a traditional home. Really, the first person, interestingly enough, is Shlomo Kalbach. I was probably about 11 or 12, came to the yeshiva. And he was the first one that I really saw play guitar and sing, and it was very inspirational. And in fact, it's interesting, there's a song that he never published that I remember. How I remember the song, I have no idea. He didn't even put all the words to it, called Shakti Hashem.
Can you sing a couple of bars?
Yeah, it goes, Shabbaki Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim es Hashem. And it goes da 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 da.
You know, a world first premiere, yes.
Amazing.
On the air, I hear you first.
To remember, you know, I don't even know where my keys are, you know, and to remember all those years. So I saw him playing the guitar, and then from there, it's interesting. I went to Neri Yisrael. I'm a Jewish boy, and my mother wanted me to play piano. But it was all classical, and I really wasn't into it. But I, you know, got fairly decent at it. When I went to Neri Yisrael, there was a guy there who played a ukulele. And so he taught me
a ukulele. Okay.
Yeah. And then from there, we had a guy come. He didn't last long, but he brought a guitar with him. And he left the guitar. And we took two strings off, tuned it like a ukulele, and played it like a ukulele. So I learned how to play the guitar with four strings. And I left yeshiva when I left. I left permanently at the age of 15. I took the guitar with me, came home, and wound up buying. I have a 12-string Gibson that I've had since I was 15 years old. It's over 52 years old. And I still play it, and it's in great shape. But that got me, the yeshiva actually really got me into playing guitar. And of course, I went a different direction with it.
Are you still playing four strings on it, just?
No, I finally got brave and put on two, and then bought the 12. Keep moving forward, you know.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Looking for an 18-string guitar.
Okay, now we know that one of the nicknames of King David is the sweet singer of Israel, and his composition of the Book of Psalms, and written all and compiled and redacted in order to show the greatness of Hashem and praise God. And there's a piece of Talmud that you're probably familiar with that says that David was actually chastised or given a good talking to by God when he referred to them as just like great songs. What about that, Marty Goodman?
Yeah, that's an interesting. I do know it. I guess God looks at it. We say God judges a tzaddik, a righteous individual, the chutzara, to a hair's breadth. I'm not so sure if you and I said that it would be looked at that way. Evidently, at his level, that calling it a song was incorrect. But I don't believe at our level that would be the case. I think that God looked into his heart and saw that he didn't look at it maybe on a high enough level. Because the truth of the matter is that song is really just a ladder to get us closer to God. So he may have been looking at the beauty of the song itself instead of what it's really meant to do. It's really a tool for us to connect to our Creator beyond logic, beyond reason. It's interesting with the CD, the greatest thing, if you come up with a new idea in Torah, the truth of the matter is I'm sure it's not new. If you study long enough, you'll find someone else has said it. As King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But not when it comes to music. I believe that music is a gift. And how do you write a song? I have no idea. Somehow you reach up and there it is and you get it. And it's like the whole world is, there's all this music around. So calling it a song may be the word that he used was wrong, because it's really just, it's that ladder that connects us to God. Maybe the idea that we're supposed to know it's a much deeper and a much greater power than just a song, which seems to be too simple.
That's really right, spot on. Okay, so the music that you've chosen, I was actually, when I was previewing the CD to decide which songs to play, we opened up with I Love Hashem, and my now 30-year-old daughter remembers you playing that for her school when she was 11. So this isn't, you didn't sit down, which impressed me, because you didn't sit down and do all this in like an afternoon, come up with this whole CD. This is taking you decades. What started you on original music, Marty Goodman?
Well, I've always had, again, music's been part of my life, all my life. I've been singing, whether it was, folk rock when I was a kid and things like that. But when I became a Baal Tshuva, my son was born. I walked out of a delivery room and all of a sudden I decided that I had to come back to serve God. I really wasn't brought up in a home where zemiros, where songs were sang. And when I came back, on Shabbos, I had nothing to sing. So I kind of was inspired and started to write songs for myself to sing. The first song, Ashrei Ha'ish, which is the real first song on the album, on the CD, it haunted me. I would finish praying, and my office and my library were together in one room. And when I would finish up davening, then I would work on some things I had to do. And this tune, Ashrei Ha'ish, just kept coming back. And somehow, happy as a man that listens to your commandments, it means really understands them, and your Torah and your words he takes to his heart. If I pray, and I don't remember saying that word, in fact, the Sfardim kiss their tzitzis there. That's the sixth time they do it. If I don't remember saying those words, then I really feel like I didn't pray at all. So it really became a necessity of sorts of me having something to sing with my kids on the Shabbos table. And that's kind of where it came from. In fact, my son Ian, there's a song, Harachamoni Zakina, from Benching. And there's a high part to it that he would scream out, to this day, I can sing it. And you'll see a smile on his face whenever he hears it. Yeah. So it was kind of born out of necessity as a gift from God. And I'm very appreciative of that fact.
Okay. Besides Shlomo Carl Bach, who were your major influences in your songwriting, Marty Goodman?
I have to say James Taylor.
You got a friend. Yeah, okay.
Right. Fire and rain, yeah. But it's interesting. When I became a Baal Tshuva, I took my guitar, put it in the case, and put it away. And I figured it had nothing to do with serving God. And I remember Rabbi Moshe Poulter, Shalom, that he told me the Rebbe was very big on not putting things like that away, but elevating them. And when he told me that, that's when I unpacked it and got into this writing. In fact, I remember very well, I went to Israel for the first time in 85, and I really started writing right around there. I made a CD at Specs Howard's, in fact, and I made a tape there. And when I went to Israel, my guide was a chazan, Asher Heinovitz. I think he sings at the Assurance Shul right down from the Great Synagogue. And he was a day late. We started off left-footed. Anyways, I had this CD, and I put it in. I said, mind if I put this in the tape player? He had a VW bus. He said, sure, put it in. And I put it in. He heard the first song. He said, who's that? I said, me. Pulled the van over. He says, we got to start all over again. And I remember going through, we were walking with Ramosha and him, and again, Ramosha was also a chazan, underneath the pool that's underneath the city, that you walk under to get to the pool of Shul or whatever it's called. Anyways, you're bent over, you can't even stand up straight, walking through water. And the three of us were singing Ahati Ki Ishma, going through it. And we got to the other end. We did it with harmony and whatever. There were like a group of people waiting for us to thank us for the entertainment because of the echoes that were going through this tunnel. So it's been an interesting journey. It's been an interesting journey.
Indeed. What would you say is, there's a lot of Jewish music out there now of all various sorts and genre. We play all kinds of Jewish music over here. What's the nuance? What's different about Serving Hashem with Joy, Marty Goodman? Serve Hashem with song, excuse me.
I think that what's interesting about serving God with song is that there are no boundaries. You know, it's like Jews who live in Japan kind of look Japanese. We take on part of who we are is I think we take the best of all cultures and somehow make it Jewish. And I think that Jewish music, there's a traditional sound to it, but today you hear Jewish music that it incorporates every place that we live and all types of flavors of music. It's not limited to anything. Serving God transcends all boundaries. And I think it's our job, and that's, I think, we've been sent to all four corners of the earth to elevate everything. But there is nothing, and that, I think that was the Rebbe's main push, there is nothing that does not have spirituality to it. So even rap with this Matis Yol, what he did, it doesn't make a difference what it is. That everything has a godly spark to it. It's our job to find it. And somehow we do. And somehow we elevate it, and sometimes we're able to make all things that seem to be mundane spiritual, godly, and good.
Okay. Now, when we finally put together the CD, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I suppose you didn't think that it was going to go platinum. So you're...
It's not... why would you tell me something? I thought it was. So I was going to retire.
The question then is what would you consider having this CD in your mind be a success in its publication?
That's a fair question. But there's really two answers. I would be lying to you if the answer was not that hundreds, if not thousands, of people found it inspirational and enjoyable, and in some way it changed their lives. But the truth of the matter is, and that's the beauty of what we do and how we serve God, if it makes one person's life better, if it makes one person's life happier, if it brings one person closer to God, then I'm a total success. And that's really what it is.
That's really awesome. I mean, we're just about up with this segment, but a very cute vignette that I personally saw, and if you could tell the story, there's a kid in a neighborhood who's about 2 years old. You know what I'm talking about, yes? And insists on only listening to your CD. When they try to put something else on, they put Uncle Moshe on, or they put 613. No, the kid like has a fit. He only wants to listen to Marty Goodman. So
amazing. You know, it's funny because there's an Israeli couple, and when as she prepares her Shabbos meal. She just told my wife over the Yontif that she prepares her Shabbos and Yontif meals. The baby, she has a young baby, a year and a half, whatever, and the baby is always very unruly and all over the place and never quiet and a real difficulty. So she's been putting on my CD to prepare her food, and she finds it very inspirational, which is very nice. But she says now the baby, because she wanted to get the baby's dancing to it, and it's very quiet and very listening, attentive, and no longer a problem when listening to it. So if I don't touch adults, at least I'm touching children.
You may have, Marty Goodman, you may have solved ADD. All you have to do is market it as, you know.
Well, I love Hashem.
There you go. That's going to do it. We're going to thank you so much for making the CD, and we're going to play a little bit of it after we come back from our commercial break, and wish you continued success. Is there a volume 2 in the works sometime over the next, I don't know, 18 years or so that it took you to put this one together?
Thank you. Listen, a good crystal to you, and thank you so very much, and God you bless you and make it successful.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with one of these exciting songs from Marty Goodman. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Hi, Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. As we promised, this is Marty Goodman. The CD is called Serve Hashem with Song. It's available at martygoodman.com. Let's listen in.
The pleasantness of God and to meditate in the sanctuary. Awakashowalti, awakashowalti, meyeis Hashem. Oh, so abakesh. Shifty, beveis Hashem. Shifty, beveis Hashem. Call you me chayai. Lachasos been no, I'm Hashem. Awakashowalti, meyeis Hashem.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Herschel Fittman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I love talking about Franklin Cider. One thing I love more than talking about Franklin Cider Mill Cider is drinking Franklin Cider Mill Cider. And if you've never had it, let me just tell you, you're missing out. As the Fittman children say, everything else is just juice. We've got more music for you coming up right now. This is Yaakov Shweki. This is a piece that was written several years ago, and has been redone in memory of the two soldiers that were killed this week. It's called Cry No More, and let's listen in.
Many tears have fallen, many years we're calling, please, no more. Many broken hearted, friends lost and departed, please, no more. Now the time has come, everyone must stand together and be strong forevermore. Young and helpless children, illness and confusion, please, no more. Old and lonely people, hunger, war, and evil, please, no more. Now the time has come, everyone has won forever. Let his kingdom rise again. Upon the mountain of our shame, and then we'll cry no more. Yerushalayim.
Is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS drug detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Fenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This is, of course, the week of the portion of Noah. And, you know, the whole deal with the flood. And it just so happens that we have a recording of the conversation, the initial conversation between Noah and God. Let's listen in.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He's making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. It's vuba, 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 vuba. Noah. Somebody call? Vuba, vuba, vuba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How you gonna do it?
Gonna make it rain 4,000 days and drown them right out.
Right. Listen, do this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up.
Right.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are in the book of Genesis, starting over again with the good Bible story stuff, you know, and wow, we got the flood at the beginning of the portion. At the end of the portion is the famous story of the Tower of Babel. There's just some stories, biblical of course, that really make it into the lexicon of the Joe average on the street. So if you ask somebody to name 10 Bible stories, I would bet that the Tower of Babel would be one of those 10. Would you agree with me, Ben? Ben's my handy board up. Yes, he's shaking his head in the up and down version of, yes, of the way people shake their heads. It's a really cool story. So, but let's analyze it. What's the deal over here? Here are these people. Were they stupid? Did they think that they're going to be able to build a structure that's going to climb up to heaven and that they're going to be able to fight with God? Well, no. Maybe people had like a bit of a primitive knowledge of how nature worked, per se, because in an analysis, I looked this over in preparing this monologue. One of the things that they believed is that it was going to flood every 1,600 years and change. And they needed a place to go, which was going to be above the flood water. And that would be an interesting idea. Another opinion is that they thought that they could go up to as far as the heavens and let out all the water so that it would all be down here. And then that way they wouldn't have to worry about floods. But that sounds really kind of dumb because then they would just flood out the place. Other opinions really say more about the attitude. They wanted to erect this as a monument to their own accomplishments. There's one opinion that says that they wanted to create a utopian society. They saw that what could happen is people have differences of opinions. And in doing so, what would happen is you would have this natural progression where people of the same opinion would populate in similar areas to the exclusion of people of different opinions. And what would happen is you would have a diversity among men, which is a terrible thing. So they wanted to build this structure to act as a focal point for people to stay together and maintain one single homogeneous society based on single principles. Of course, by this time again, you're talking about, this is not very much after the flood. You were talking 300 years or so after the flood when this whole thing happened. Abraham was actually alive during the building of the Tower of Babel. A lot of people don't know about that. But if you do the numbers and crunch everything out, so it comes out that Abraham was born in the year 1948 after the creation of Adam. The Tower of Babel, I believe, was someplace in the 1950s, or maybe a little later. And Abraham was definitely there. And Abraham lived in the area close enough where he would have heard about the Tower of Babel. They both happened in what we call today Iraq. Abraham lived in Chaldea, which is southwestern Iraq, and the Tower of Babel, not exactly sure where the valley was, probably more closer to central Iraq. So, but Abraham knew about this Tower of Babel. What was it that they were trying to do? here. It sounds very, in principle, sounds very good. We're going to unite people in a common cause. But the cause itself was fallacious. Not to say that people can't get together. People can get together. People can agree on things. People can even agree to disagree on things. There doesn't have to be fighting among people, even though right now there are probably about 24 wars going on around the world someplace. People can get along. And that's what they wanted to do. And this sounds all very well and good. The Lubavitch Rebbe points out a couple of things which led them to stray. The first thing is they wanted to make a name. The name in Hebrew is Hashem, which we use as a familiar term referring to God. What aspect of God? God's essence. When I say Hashem in casual conversation, it's because I don't want to say any of the proper names which are mentioned, and so would be a violation of the third commandment of not taking God's name in vain. What I'm referring to is God in his essence. And so they wanted to make themselves Hashem. They wanted to say, we're just as good. How so? Look, it says right in the verse, they used bricks for stones. What's the difference between a brick and a stone? Stones are naturally occurring. They're God-made, you might say. Bricks are man-made. What's the difference in a brick and a stone? If you want to make a stone structure, it gets a little complicated because you got to fit stuff together and you got to find smaller rocks and bigger rocks and use lots of cement, which they hadn't been invented yet. And it gets, you know, it's very nice, but bricks stack. They're just so much more easier. You take the brick, you slap some stuff in between it, you put another brick on, and before you know it, you've got a structure, and it's a really strong structure. That was their problem. They thought, you know, we're just as good as God. And you know what? We don't need God. As soon as a person says that, oh, I don't need God, God says, oh, yeah? You're on your own, buddy. Let's see what you can do without my help. And shortly thereafter, there is not even a trace anywhere of the Tower of Babel. It was so totally and completely destroyed that we have nothing. Because that's what happens when we try to say, I'm going to do it alone. I'm going to do it without God. The end result is not that God destroyed it. The people themselves destroyed it. It couldn't stand up. And so it's when we're out and we're working in our day-to-day lives, you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, pass a comb over your hair, run out the door, and you're sitting at your desk and doing whatever work it is that you're doing. And you're making so much and so much dollars. Don't think that it's you that's doing. Because you can see yourself, there are plenty of things that get mucked up in the course of a day. And things that go really well. And why do things get mucked up? And why do things go really well is because of God's involvement in our lives directly. Speaking of godly involvement directly, let's take a quick commercial break. And don't go away. We've got the Hasidic story. This is a real good one.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com, www.rabbiFinman.com. You'll find archives editions of the show. You'll find the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, which are all various forms of yours truly presenting informational, educational Judaism to the world. You'll find the contact page, of course, right on the front homepage. You can send me a letter, and I will respond in kind, and because I'm an in-kind person. And you'll find a very important donations page. We're at the last week of September. September hasn't been paid. I'm counting on you. You've stepped up to the plate. We're 18 years here on air, and you've always stepped up to the plate, and I'm waiting now. I always say, listen, God, show me how you're going to do it this month. And someone comes through, and just we get it right at the end. So go to RabbiFinman.com and make that donation today. Any amount is good. If you do not like making donations using credit cards, absolutely safe, PayPal, then I understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000, that's 14000, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Heard this story over the weekend. We had Simchas Torah. The big thing about Simchas Torah, what I've told people is that you got to really dance your shoes off. So it once happened in the Baal Shem Tov's synagogue. Baal Shem Tov, founder of the Jewish, of the Hasidic movement, early 1700s, and the Hasidim were really dancing. And in their dancing, they were drinking wine also. And the more wine they drank, the more they danced. And the more they danced, the more wine they drank. And the Baal Shem Tov's wife became concerned and that they weren't going to have enough wine to get them to do the sacramental part of the day. They have the Kiddush, the Havdalah, these things that are said, the ceremonious things that you need wine for. So she went and she told her husband, you have to tell them to stop dancing because we're not going to have enough wine. And he said, they won't listen to me. But if you go and tell them, then I'm sure they'll listen. So she opened up the door where the Hasidim were dancing, and she saw the Hasidim were dancing in a very tight circle, and there was this like pillar of fire that was around them, like a wedding canopy. And she just said, close the door, went down to the wine cellar, pulled out as many bottles as she could carry, and put them on the table. That's going to do it for the week. We hope you had a chance. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We're back into the things. This is Yaakov Halach L'Darko. It's a Hasidic tradition that at the end of yesterday, before everybody left the synagogue, banging on the table and saying, Yaakov Halach L'Darko, that Yaakov went on his way. Time to go back into the world. We've had enough of celebrating, partying. It's been a whole entire month, 2 months, if you count the preparation with Elul, that we've been doing this. And now it's time to take that which we were able to gather during the last 2 months and forage into, not forage, to go into the year now. There's no holidays now for till Hanukkah. And to just take what it is that we were able to muster during these 2 months, this excitement, this passion, this and Zman Simchasenu, the time of our rejoicing, this happiness, and bring it into the world, into our day-to-day mundane lives, so our mundane lives aren't so mundane. That's going to do it. Thank you so much. Until next week, take care.